أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As you remember, we are talking about the qualities of Islamic theory of metaethics. So far, I have touched a number of qualities and attributes. The last peculiarity of Islamic moral thinking was something which I dealt with in my previous session. In my previous session, I pointed out that Islam agrees to some extent with hedonism. But Islam cannot be limited to hedonism. According to hedonism, what is important is pleasure. What is of importance is pleasure. What matters in your life is pleasure. Try to get as much pleasure as you can and try to avoid pains. This is the slogan of this school of thought. Islam says that pleasure is good and pain is bad. But as far as the interpretation of pleasure and pain is concerned, Islam presents a new theory. Islam emphasizes on spiritual pleasure rather than physical pleasure. Physical pleasure is good, but if you want to compare physical pleasure, bodily pleasure, with spiritual pleasure, bodily pleasure is nothing. It is of no value compared to spiritual pleasure. But despite all this, Islam says, don't forget your physical pleasure. Try to satisfy your thirst. Try to satisfy your emotions. Don't neglect your emotions. Don't neglect your pleasures. The thing is that when you want to gain pleasure, try to gain the pleasures through lawful ways. If you get the pleasures through lawful means and lawful ways, Islam agrees with it. And this is what Islam emphasizes upon. For example, you want to get sexual pleasure. If you gain it through marriage, that is what Islam likes. That is what Islam favors. Islam says those who get married, they protect half of the religion. If you divide religion into two parts, one part is protected through your endeavor, through your hard work, but the other part can be kept through marriage. So try to give importance to marriage. Marriage is very much important from the viewpoint of Islam. Similarly, you want to lead a well of life, you want to lead a facilitated life. But there are many ways to reach this goal. You can reach this goal through illegal ways. For example, one might steal, one might do robbery, one might do other illegal activities. And through these illegal activities, one might get rich and a very comfortable life. But that is not good. Islam tells us to seek a better life through lawful ways and through lawful means. If you refrain from what is forbidden and restrict yourself to what is legal and to what is lawful, then you are leading a good life. You are leading an ideal life from the Islamic point of view. So Islam does not dislike pleasure. Islam does not totally reject pleasure. Islam tells you seek pleasure through legal ways. Seek pleasure through lawful manners and ways. So this is one point. Another point is that Islam is mindful not only of your short-term interests and short-term pleasures, but of your long-run interests. If you, for example, fight for the sake of God in the way of Allah, of course, you might lose parts of your body, if not the whole of your body. Thinking on a calculation or calculative basis, you might say that you have lost, you have not won anything. But Islam says, yes, you have lost something pertaining to this world. But instead, God will give you a permanent life in the hereafter. God will give you a great reward. As soon as you pass away, you will be enjoying yourself in the hereafter. God will give you each and every kind of bounty, each and every kind of blessings. So you see that you have given up your life in this world, but instead you are given a perpetual life. Now, if you want to exchange the two, which one is better? A temporal life is better than a permanent life? Not at all. Nobody says that a temporal life can be tantamount to a perpetual life. So in such cases, you can sell some pleasure in order to gain better pleasures. You sell temporal pleasures in order to gain everlasting pleasures. So pleasure is your focus. You focus on pleasure. You do not forget about pleasure. So what I want to say is that Islam does give attention to pleasure. Islam is not like Sufism. Islam is not like other ascetic ways of thinking and living, because there are certain schools of thought. They are very negative, and they hold a very negative approach towards life in this world. And that is why they advise their followers to give up paying attention to this world. And they advise their followers to concentrate on the hereafter and do whatever they can in order to get closer to the life after death. But Islam does not follow such an approach. Islam tells us, give importance to this world. And by giving importance of this world, you can seek the favor of God. You can seek the pleasure of God, the Almighty. And I recited some verses from the Holy Quran in order to prove my point of view. I said there is a verse in the Holy Quran that says, لا تنسى نصيبك من الدنيا. Don't forget about your share of this world. Each one of us has a certain share of this world. We must not neglect our share of this world. We must not forget about our share of this world. Like some of the mystics, they forget about this world. And they tell their followers to forget about this world. Islam does not tell it. Islam says, لا تنسى نصيبك من الدنيا. Of course, there are different interpretations about this verse. But the thing is that the verse very directly tells us, don't forget about your share of this world. What is this share? There is a tradition, it says, لا تنسى صحتك وقدرتك وفراغك وشبابك ونشاطك أن تطلب بها الآخرة. You have different things. God has given you different things. God has given you the health, and therefore you are healthy. God has given you power, therefore you are a powerful person, you are a mighty person maybe. And فراغك, and you have the leisure time. وشبابك, and you have the opportunity and the time when you are young. Don't forget about your youthfulness, your youth. ونشاطك, you have to do different things, and you do different things, different activities. Whatever you do, try to give them a divine color. Try to seek the pleasure of God through doing all these things. Try to seek the pleasure of God through your health. Say, Alhamdulillah, God has given me this health. I do exercise, but it is God who has given me the excellent health which I have. I'm a powerful person. I can wrestle with any person. But this is what God has given me. God has made my muscles powerful. And of course, I have different things. God has given me children. God has given me wealth. God has given me reputation. All these things are given by God to me. And I should thank God. I should try to link these things to God, saying that it is God who has given all these things to me. And I should spend all these things in the way God advises me to spend my properties, my wealth, and those areas. I have different means, and I should use them in a proper way, in a way that is liked by Islam. So the verse says, لَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. It means that you should spend whatever you have in the way of God. Because if you spend all these things in the way God advises you, then when you pass away, God will give you the compensation. God will give you the reward, and therefore you will lead a perpetual life. But of course, if you do not spend your wealth in the way God advises you, then when you die, as everybody dies, then you will be empty-handed before God. God will tell you on the day of judgment, you have not spent your wealth in my way, and you have not done the duty I have told you to do, therefore I cannot give you any reward. So if you make use of the opportunities you have, if you spend your richness, your wealth in the way of Allah, and if you spend your health, your mental and physical health in the way God advises you, then you will be a successful person. Otherwise, you will be flat broke, you will be a bad person, God forbids. This was about the quality of pleasure. And now let us study another quality of Islamic theory of metaethics. Islam is in favor of altruism, but it is not confined to altruism. Similarly, Islam is in favor of egoism, but Islam is not confined to egoism. What does altruism say? Altruists say that give importance to others, try to serve others, try to help others, try to forget about yourselves, try to forget about your passions, try to forget about your sentiments, try to give attention to others. This is the recommendation of the altruist. Islam says, yes, it is good to help others. It is good to give assistance to others. It is good to take the hand of a needy person. But everything cannot be confined to this principle. Now let us find some examples which show that Islam is concerned about altruism, and Islam gives importance to the thought produced by this school of thought. Islam says, أحسن كما أحسن الله إليك. Do favor as God has done favor to you. That is a very good way of recommendation. Look, whatever we have, it is given by God. As I mentioned before, our health is given by God. Our wealth is given by God. The opportunities we have is given by God. All these things are linked to God. We were not born and we did not have the opportunity of being alive, but God gave us the opportunity and God brought us to existence. And God has given us different things. So as God has done different favors to us, we must also do favors to others. When our neighbors are in need, we must go and help them. When a person is sick and he is in need of certain things, we should try to help him. So as God has done favor to us, we must do favor to others. Our example must be God. Our model must be God. It is the highest model. No model is better than this. So try to follow the example of God. As God has done favor to you, do favor to others. And if you do this, this will be the ethics that God likes. This is the morality that God encourages. Look at this morality, in the morality that is propagated nowadays by certain so-called Islamic groups. They give an image of Islam that is distorting Islam. They introduce Islam as a religion of violence, as a religion of intoleration. But you see, God says that Ahsin, kama ahsan Allah ilayk, be good towards others, do favors towards others. Islam does not suffice to saying that being good is enough. If you do not harm others, that is good. But Islam does not suffice to this. Islam says it is not enough not to harm others. Try to help others. Try to assist others. It is not enough to stop harming others. It is not enough to stop injuring others. It is not enough to stop abusing others. It is not enough to stop stealing the property of others. We must stop doing all these things. It's good, but we should not suffice to this. We must take a step further. We must help others. This is a very positive approach. We must help others. We must give salutation. We must give good words. And we must do whatever we can in order to please others, in order to satisfy others, in order to help others. So this is the Islamic way of thinking. And there is another verse that tells us, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ وَيُقِيمُونَ السَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. This is this verse tells us about the qualities of believers, of good people. It says those who believe in God and those who establish prayer and those who spend in the way of Allah, they are good people. So you see, God emphasizes on spending in the way of Allah, on spending for the welfare of your co-human beings. And it is a kind of altruistic thinking. Islam does not say that you should suffice to helping yourself, to helping your family, to helping your near and dear. Yes, it is good to help your family. Nobody disagrees with it. But do not confine yourself to this. Go and help others. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They spend their God-given richness in the way of God. So this is a clear example of altruism or altruistic thinking in Islam. Yes, Islam also advises us to make sacrifices in the way of God. When your country is under threat, when the enemies are attacking you, you must defend your country. You must fight for the sake of God. You must fight for the sake of your nation. Here you make sacrifices, but for the sake of others, either for the sake of God. So these are the examples of altruistic thinking in Islam. But Islamic altruism is a kind of altruism that is not in contradiction with egoism. Islamic thinking can be reconciled with egoism. Islamic altruism can be reconciled with egoism. Because Islam does not negate the ego. Islam does not negate self-interest. Islam tells you that yes, you are after your self-interest, you are after your ego. But the way to improve your self-interest, the way to better your self-interest, is not to follow your personal or private interest. It is through following the pleasures of God. If you follow the commandments of God, by following the commandments of God, you will be able to satisfy your desires. You will be able to lead a perpetual life. Look, the concern of Islam is a perpetual life. How you can reach perpetual life? How can you reach perpetual happiness? How can you reach perpetual salvation? This is the concern of Islam. Islam says that you cannot reach perpetual happiness through following your personal interests. If you are a self-centered person, if you are a selfish person, you will not be able to reach a perpetual happiness. How can you then reach perpetual happiness? Islam says you can reach perpetual happiness through following the commandments of God. You can reach salvation through obeying the commandments of God. The more you obey the commandments of God, the better it is. The more you follow Islamic directions, the better it is. So Islam is concerned about egoistic thinking, but Islam says that you can reach this kind of thinking via altruism. Islamic altruism ends up in egoism. Islamic altruism is in harmony with egoism. And they are not in contradiction with each other. They are not in conflict with each other. There is complete harmony between Islamic altruism and Islamic egoism. Therefore, I would like to say that Islam emphasizes on altruism. There are many examples that tell us that Islam favors altruistic thinking. But the thing is that Islamic altruism is not in contradiction with egoism. It is in harmony with it. On the one hand, Islam stresses on the observation of altruistic thinking. On the other hand, Islam lays stress on egoistic thinking. So Islam reconciles between the two. And this is one of the important qualities of Islamic way of moral thinking. Thank you very much.